Welcome to Unity of Fairfax, a positive path for spiritual living and spiritual center for education, practice, and service in Northern Virginia. We hope you find inspiration in this week's message.
Well, as Steve said, it is just an absolutely beautiful day here. I don't know if I'm in the snow globe or looking into the snow globe. We're kind of having a snow globe kind of experience today, and that's a surprise. I want to give a shout out and thanks to Liliana Rodriguez, who actually presented the Daily Word for us today in Spanish. You might have thought, Carlos, your voice doesn't quite sound the same. No, it didn't. So thank you, Liliana, for that. Hey, speaking of surprises, I had an interesting experience I wanted to share with you that took place when I was serving at First Unity in St. Petersburg, Florida, prior to coming here. And I was in my office one day meeting with a member of our church, and she came in and she said, Reverend Russell, I just got to tell you about this thing that happened. And so I said, well, have a seat and tell me about this thing that had happened. And she said, I was walking along Clearwater Beach, which was not far from where we lived. And she goes, would you believe I was walking along and I found a lamp, a little oil lamp in the sand? And I said, well, you know, anything's possible. So what happened? She goes, well, I thought to myself, could it be? You never know. It might be. And so she was a possibility thinker. So she picked up the lamp and she rubbed it and out popped a genie. And she's thinking, wow, this is really cool. And she saw the genie and she goes, genie, do I get three wishes? And he goes, no, the committee revised the rules. You get one. And she goes, well, okay. And she was a prosperity thinker. So she's like, what do I want? And she realized that what she wanted was a world of peace, abundance, and respect for all creation. So she said, genie, what I really want is peace in the Middle East. And he looked at her and goes, lady, I'm one genie. You're asking a lot. Try again. And you know, she's wanting to stay in gratitude. You know, it doesn't happen very often. You find a genie in a lamp on Clearwater Beach, Florida. So she said, okay, maybe I'll just make it more personal. She goes, you know what I really want, genie? She said, I want a man who will just love me and be my soulmate and go to Unity with me every week and volunteer and do all those wonderful things. And unlike my last relationship, I don't want one of these stupid sports nuts who's going to sit in front of the television all day long on Sunday watching stupid football. And the genie's like, so he looks at her and says, get me a map. So anyway, it is Super Bowl Sunday. Yay, go Tampa Bay Bucks. So that's why I'm pulling for. And it's taking place at Raymond James Studio, right? Stadium right there in Florida. And an interesting thing, there's some wonderful metaphysics about this year's Super Bowl. It's wonderful stories about what is possible. And the message, one of the messages that I hope we all walk away from with this year's Super Bowl is this. At any age, you can pursue your dreams. And I say that because of the odd relationship between the Super Bowl quarterbacks. You have Patrick Mahomes from the Kansas City Chiefs, who is at the ripe old age of 25 in his first Super Bowl. And then you have Tom Brady, who used to play for a different team I won't name, but is playing for Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the ripe old age of 43, 18 years difference between them. Tom Brady played his first Super Bowl when Patrick Mahomes was in kindergarten. So here's the message. Go for your dreams at any age. You're never too young or too old. So there you have it. Super Bowl Sunday and a genie at Clearwater Beach in Florida. So there. But there's something more important probably, definitely, than that I wanted to address today. And that is the idea of Black History Month. Black History Month was first created by Dr. Carter Woodson in 1926, put forward as Negro History Week. Dr. Woodson at the time was teaching at Howard University here in the District of Columbia. Interestingly enough, you may or may not know, Dr. Woodson was only the second African American to receive a PhD from Harvard University. The first was W.E.B. Du Bois. So Dr. Woodson wanted to, and not only Dr. Woodson, but lots of people, probably millions of people, wanted the contributions of African Americans to be made known and brought to the surface so that we might all, black, white, brown, red, yellow, might all appreciate the contributions of African American people to the life that we share together. Black History Month was, Negro History Week was started in 1926, and it was 50 years later that President Gerald Ford signed the proclamation creating Black History Month in 1976. But as any leader knows, when you are wanting to start something new, you will encounter opposition. As any quarterback knows, anytime you want to get the ball downfield, there will be a defensive line that will put up resistance. The key, though, for us as spiritual leaders, as individuals, as people who want an inclusive history to be known, is that we must stand clear and stand for the values that we hold. Dr. Woodson and countless others were for an inclusive history. And we definitely support that here at Unity of Fairfax. And so we do in the Unity Movement as well. For the next two Tuesdays on February 6th and February 9th and February 16th, our weekly highlights emails will include videos produced by Unity Worldwide Ministries that highlight the importance of celebrating Black History Month, as well as how we can use our five spiritual principles to work to end racism in our country. These are very exciting and beautiful videos. I encourage you to look for those. And if you're not already receiving our weekly highlights videos, emails, please sign up to do so on our webpage. Now this week, we are continuing our series on talks inspired by the Jim Lockhart book, Creating the Beloved Community, a Handbook for Spiritual Leadership. Now, as we've been saying, each one of our Sunday services so far this year, 2020, wonderful, each one of us is indeed a spiritual leader in our sphere of influence. Each one of us has influence, and each one of us has tools that we can use to put forward the vision of an inclusive world that works for everyone, if we choose to do so. And I hope you choose to do so. There is so much good. There is more good to go around than you can possibly exhaust. We don't need to grasp or hoard or prevent one another from having it. There is enough good. There is enough God for everyone. And our work in creating the beloved community must always be grounded in one thing, and that one thing is love. Love is the most powerful force in the universe. And though it may seem at times that negativity and nastiness and name-calling and diminishing and demonizing may seem to be pervasive, let us know that they are not the final end. Let us know that there is always a greater calling of upliftment of our souls and our spirits if we will be willing to engage in it. If we will be willing to utilize the skills and talents we have in loving one another. Now, I realize that when we are working for the greater good of all, we will encounter that defensive line for whatever reason. Within the context of our consciousness of humanity, there has always been an energy that would seek to separate and divide. I don't know why it's there. I know it's there, though. And I know that given the same set of facts, two people may respond and react very differently. And I ask you to recall something we shared a few weeks ago, and that was a Buddhist teaching that was put forward by the Dalai Lama's translator, Jinpa, whose last name I can't pronounce right now, basically a one-liner that we can always use when we are encountering the defensive line wherever we find it. And that line is this: just like me, this person or these people are striving for happiness and the avoidance of suffering. for me, for those of us who are holding the vision of a world that works for everyone, a world of peace, abundance, and respect for all creation. We have chosen to take actions, to hold thoughts, to speak the words that we believe will allow us to strive for happiness and eliminate suffering. However, others may respond differently. And by knowing that just like me, they are striving for happiness and avoiding suffering, then we can retain a sense of common humanity. Because what happens is that when we lose our connectedness with the humanity of others, even if they really make it hard for us to love them, then we start demonizing them. And then what that means, violence is a next step, and violence becomes acceptable. I was reminded of this last evening. We were sitting at home watching television, and there's a program on PBS, The American Experience, that talked about the Freedom Riders of 1961. Young people, spiritual leaders, who decided to challenge the effectiveness of the 1946 Supreme Court decision that said that segregation in interstate transportation was unconstitutional. So they attempted to ride buses from Washington and Nashville to New Orleans. Encountered a lot of people. A huge defensive line that didn't want them to do so. I watched in horror the videos and heard the stories of what these people went through because they had a vision of a world that works for everyone, where every man, woman, and child would live in the safe space that Miss Wolf and her class have created and the violence that they were subjected to. And what they held to was a nonviolent stance of loving one another, loving their enemies. Dr. King and so many others said that we must love our enemies. And in fact, one of the things that Dr. King was adamant about was reconciliation and redemption as we create the beloved community. It is a tremendous work. It is the high road, because it is much easier to get sucked down into the negativity, to be dragged down into the name-calling and the miasma of fear and ignorance that is so rife in our world today. As spiritual leaders with a sphere of influence, we must always hold the high watch. We must not allow ourselves to fall victim of fear or ignorance or greed. There's more than enough love. There's more than enough good. There is more than enough God to go around. Dr. King once said so famously, "I have decided to stick to love. Hate is too great of a burden to bear." So yes, just like me, those folks on the defensive line are striving for happiness and the avoidance of suffering. They simply have chosen a different direction than I have. But I know, and you know, there is a greater good always being seeking to be expressed. Miss Wolf and Principal Cool Cat have figured that out. And we are doing the same. And one of the ways that we do that is by understanding three very powerful words: motivation, intention, and impact. I'd like to address that first word, motivation. Because ultimately what we are talking about when we talk about these three words are what's going on here between our ears, or here in our heart, or even here in our guts. And it is really the question of why do we do what we do? And through a deep mindful practice of self-awareness, we will recognize why we do what we do, why it is we take the actions that we think will lead to happiness, or why we think we'll avoid suffering. But the problem is, so often we don't really understand why we do that. One of the books I'm reading right now is written by Donald Rothberg. We'll just say Mr. Rothberg, in which he talks about his meditation practice. It's a book entitled Engage Spirituality. From a Buddhist perspective, he talks about how we use our spiritual practice to help us engage with the world. But in a very telling story, he talks about one of the reasons why he would go to so many meditation retreats and engage in so many practices. And he was motivated because he wanted to be acknowledged as a good meditator. He was using his practice for affirmation. But one of the things he realized is once he understood that motivation, then he could let that go. And he was surprised to discover some bad news, as it were, when he asked himself, why am I doing what I'm doing? And rather than the lofty vision of self-awareness and peace and all the visions and values that he held, he just wanted people to like him and to give him pats on the back. This isn't a bad thing. But as a primary motivator for one's spiritual practice, leaves a little to be desired. But once he recognized that, once he realized about himself, with a sense of compassion for self-discovery, he could let that go and allow his practice to truly deepen. So he was able to be motivated to set intentions that would be helpful. Now, these intentions really are what we, or plans. What do we want to have happen? If your plan is to do what you do so people will like you, that's a little bit different if you want to change the world. But once he understood that he could set that aside and really focus on the greater common good, then he could set the plans in play that would work for the greater common good, not just for his own personal and immediate satisfaction. This is a really powerful point of awareness. And sometimes we don't want to admit these things because we think, oh, that's a failing. No, it's just a discovery. And once you discover it, you can either choose to build upon that or let it go. And then set the plans in place that will allow you to reach your goals and make your impact. Because we all want to make an impact, don't we? We all want to know that what we do is important. You know, there was an interesting story. I'm reading another book as well right now by Arun Gandhi, one of the grandsons of the great Mahatma Gandhi. And he talks about the years he lived in the ashram with his grandfather. And he said to his grandfather, he goes, "Grandfather, Bapuji," which was the diminutive term for granddaddy, "Bapuji, you never get angry." And the great Mahatma Gandhi replied, "I often get angry." And he goes, "Well, you never show it." And Gandhi said, "Because I have learned to use my anger constructively for good. I don't waste it." You know, when we get angry sometimes, that's a motivation to lash out and do something. And something not really productive, often on social media. But what we can do is we understand where this anger is or what this energy is, this motivation, we can channel that constructively and make the impacts that we want. And I think about great heroes that I look up to who have done that very thing. Mahatma Gandhi, Dr. King, the Freedom Riders, most of whom's names we are not commonly known but should be. And Nelson Mandela, all people who made an impact. All people who were clear in their intentions, all people who got deep down into their motivations of why do I do what I do. And so that brings it back to us. Many of us, all of us really, are spiritual leaders. And yet oftentimes we refrain from using that term because we know that just like quarterbacks and just like movement leaders, there will be controversy. There will be anger. There will be discord, and we are afraid for that. We don't want that. And as I said at the outset, when we are clear on what we are for, it is all worth it. In the book, Creating the Beloved Community, Jim Lockhart talks about being sacred disruptors. A sacred disruptor is somebody who, from a point of view of love, sees facts as they are and knows they can be better and is willing to do the work of lovingly inviting others up to a higher standard to disrupt the status quo. And we can all be sacred disruptors, whether there's dysfunction in our families, in our churches, in our communities, in our nation, in our schools, wherever they are. And that just means we operate from love in doing so. We honor the humanity of the other. We're willing to be humble. And most importantly, we're willing to do our work of self-awareness so that we might be effective in our service. Now, I would like to close this message today with just that, going within, with a moment of prayerfulness. And so I invite you to close your eyes with me for just a moment and take a breath in and let it go with an ah or a sigh. And remember, as Paul shared in his first letter to the Corinthians, that there is one body of Christ. And each and every one of us, everyone without exception, is a part of that. And everyone without exception is endowed by their Creator with spiritual gifts to use in service. You know, it's been said that service is the rent you pay for having life. And in our knowing that we have gifts, Paul tells the people, tells us still, strive for the more excellent gifts, and I will show you an even greater way. So today we accept the mantle of a spiritual leader. Today we accept and know that we are a part of the body of Christ that includes everyone without exception. And we seek the good. We seek to build bridges. We seek to raise consciousness and to be vessels of reconciliation and redemption. Dr. King once said, "Those who love are participants in the being of God." And today we say, I accept my role as a participant in the being of God. I commit to serve. I commit to love without fail. Guide me, show me, Spirit, what is mine to do, what is not mine to do, what is mine to be, what is not mine to be, so that I might be your hands, your heart, your mouth, and your ears in this beautiful world that embraces and holds us all. And so it is. Amen and amen.
Thank you for tuning into Unity of Fairfax podcast. You're welcome to join us live in Oakton, Virginia, every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. or view our live stream services from our website at unityoffairfax.org. We appreciate your donations to support this podcast to make our message of positive, practical spirituality more accessible to all. See you next time.